Hello.
Morning. How are you guys?
Good. How are you?
I'm good. A little frantic to out here on time.
Oh, I know. You guys waking up so early.
I know we do. It's okay. It's worth it. We were on a road trip for spring break, and we got home yesterday evening, so it was a little bit like trying to get everything put away and then get my mind in the game.
Yeah.
Good morning, Karen.
Good morning, everybody. How are you guys doing?
Good.
Yeah? Mm-hmm. You're the early ones.
Oh, here, I got this new mic. And now I'm wearing something I can't clip it to. Oh, interesting.
Maybe something right there. Is there a zipper on the side there?
Yeah, but it's just to get it over your head, you know? So hang on here. Let me, what mic am I using? You can hear me pretty well?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sounds great.
Hear you great.
Let me see if I can just flip it there. I got it because what happens when I turn my head? Does that work?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Okay. Wow. Well, look who's here. Bright and early. Everybody's here. Yeah, we're arriving on the minutes. So, wow. Well, how are we doing? I mean, seriously, how are we doing? Good morning, Ramon.
Good morning.
Yeah. Okay, that's the how are we doing, and nobody knows what to say. All right, that's fine. So, okay, we are recording. Okay. So here's what I do want to just say that I just realized the stuff that I sent out just now, I sent out an email with the handouts for the, while we're off, we're not having class next week, right? So we're off for 2 weeks. So, but the handouts say weeks 4 and 5 because in my head. So I've got to go in and change those so that they have the right label on them, but just know that the handouts I gave you, even though the week numbers are off, it is your homework for the next 2 weeks, and we'll go over it today in class, and then I'll get the things corrected and we'll post the correct ones online. So don't print the ones you got unless you plan on, I just sent you, unless you want to toss them later or on your own scratch out the dates. That's just a Karen glitch. Did that make any sense, or is it too early for people to even grasp what I'm saying?
It made sense.
Okay.
I got on a little late. Did you say disregard the printouts for today?
Not the printouts, just the title. It says homework for weeks 4 and 5, sadhana weeks 4 and 5.
Oh, okay.
And it should have said 3 and 4.
Okay.
Yeah. And that was just me. I was just bumping you guys ahead in my head. It was like, you know. So,
oh, I do.
So at any rate, let's see. Do we have almost everybody here? I think I got a text from Lisa. Was it a text or an email from Lisa telling us she wasn't going to be here today? Not this Lisa, not Oregon Lisa, other Lisa. Okay, you guys didn't see that. So that was a text that came in late last night. We're missing Kelsey and, We're going to start anyways. Brenda. I want to start you with the meditation. What was that?
I don't see Brenda either.
I don't see Brenda either. Yeah. So, but we're going to start because they can just join in. So I want to open us with a meditation. Okay. Do you have your invocation nearby? We'll do our invocation. Morning, Kelsey. And, I don't have it in front of me, so you say the right words, okay? If I say the wrong words, ignore me, all right? Because I got so many other handouts up on my machine, I forgot to pull that one. So, all right, before we talk too much, let's just find our seat. Find our seat. And as you find your seat, first, drop your tension into your bottom. Feel the the weight and the pressure as a grounding. This is a grounding moment. And so taking this moment to really just take that exhale. And you'll find that as time goes by, this moment of settling into your seat becomes magic. It becomes literally as if you know, that moment in the theater when the lights go down and you know it's about to start. It's that moment when you're at a concert and the band runs on stage. It's like, it's that moment. Settle into your seat. Oh yes, here I am. And then for today, let's have our hands down for now. We might change that later. And just notice the sensation of your palms and your fingers. What is the texture of the clothes or the flesh that they're resting on? And then take just a moment to listen to the sounds around you. And one of the benefits of this, just this moment of listening, is that we are training ourselves to listen without resistance. So depending on where you are, there may be dogs barking, there may be neighbors mowing, there may be, you know, music playing from the other room. Our skill is learning to become present with the sounds with no resistance. It's just purely a vibration. And we are training ourselves to let go of the context. Oh, that's the kids fighting. Oh, that's the neighbor mowing. Damn, why do they always mow when I want to meditate? You know, we are training ourselves with sound to accept the world as it is and not hear it and let go of a story. If you can let go of the story of the sound and hear it as simply a vibration, that begins the process of turning inward. That begins the process of letting go of the everyday mind, the story, and turning inward. And so we turn inward from sound, hearing it just as a vibration. And then as we inhale in the nostrils and we feel that first burst of coolness, it's, I don't know if it'll make sense to you, but it's almost like another vibration. We're just tuning into a different vibration. There's a vibration of those little hairs in our nostrils moving. The vibration of cool air that's giving that sense of coolness. The vibration as we exhale that changes the temperature. And now let's continue with the resurrection breath. And as we come forward, we'll move right into, we'll do three-part breaths. Okay. And you go at your own pace. So let's resurrection breath. Inhale through the nostrils. Turn the head to the left. Come forward. Inhale deep into the belly, expanding in the chest. Feel it filling the tops of the lungs. Exhale, the lung, the collarbones fall as the lungs begin to empty, the chest contracts, the tummy falls. And do two more on your own. And with this last one, see if you can do it with fresh eyes. Notice something you never noticed before. and then release. And we'll just rest here for about half a minute. We'll let you rest in the quiet and just see what it takes for your mind to stay present in this moment. Now what I'd like you to do is to just make sure your body is soft. If you find any tightness in the shoulders, release them with a breath. Any tightness in the neck or the jaw. On your own, just scan through your body. Find any tightness. Use the breath to soften it. And then settle back into your seat. And for this next meditation, it's okay to be comfortable. It's okay to lean back on the chair, to lean back on the, against the wall or the couch. Just be comfortable. And what I'd like you to do is to imagine that you're standing at the base of a mountain. You're standing at the base of a mountain and you are gently, easily beginning to walk up this mountain. Now we've done meditations like this before, so if you know this mountain, use your mountain, okay? If not, just show up for the mountain that shows up in front of you. But the key here is that you are ascending, walking upwards. And then magically, at some point here, you discover a waterfall. You discover a waterfall, and as you gaze at this waterfall, you realize it is no ordinary waterfall. It is a waterfall of light. A waterfall of light. And what I'm going to ask you to do now is to answer this question with the first thing that comes to your mind, okay? So we're looking at this waterfall. You're looking at this waterfall. It's a waterfall of light. And ask yourself, what today for you is the color of purity? And now let that waterfall become that color. Just let it become that color. And you are easily coming to stand at the very center of that waterfall. So hear that easily part, right? If your waterfall is up a bunch of rocks, you just float up those rocks. Stand at the center of this waterfall and let this pure, pure light begin to flow down over your body. And this water, which is the color of purity, is amazingly light. It caresses your body. It's not cold, it's not hot. It's just the right temperature for you. And it washes down, and it washes down, purifying your physical body. And then it enters in through the top of your head. And as it begins to flow down through your head, your torso, your arms, your legs, it begins to purify both the physical body and the energy body. And you allow this light, this comforting, purifying light to find the places of heaviness, to find the places of worry and fear, and wash them away. Literally, just flow them, flush them out of your body, out through the soles of your feet, out through the palms of your hands. And at this point, just practice trusting your intuition. If it feels like there's a dense spot, let the light carry that denseness away. If it feels there's a spot in your elbow or at the bottom of your right ribs, just trust it. There's nothing logical about this process. We are allowing this purifying light, the intelligence, to purify us of these lower vibrations of our daily life. And if your mind is wandering, just bring it back. Bring it back to the light flowing through you, carrying away all negativity, all apprehension, all fear, all denseness, all darkness. And as it does, you feel yourself becoming this light and become a being of light. And as this light, you now effortlessly lift up through the waterfall. And as you send up out of the waterfall, there's your mountaintop high above you, or wherever it is, it's your mountaintop. And now you just float and ascend up to the top of your mountain. And as you come to the mountaintop, who is waiting for you but your Ishtar? Your Ishta is here on a throne that is appropriate for your Ishta. And as you arrive, do what feels right to you. Is it to bow? Is it to sit? Is it to stand? And then come as close as you can, as you are comfortably can, to your Ishta. And as you rest here, consciously recognize that your Ishta is radiating to you that attribute, that quality that you treasure, that you value. And with each breath, as you breathe it in, you're breathing in this quality, into this purified you. Nothing to obstruct it. You're just drinking it in, absorbing it, accepting it. And with each exhale, have a sense that this exhale is drawing this quality into every cell of your being. Drawing it into every petal of your mind. Inhaling, absorbing, accepting this gift from your Ishta. Exhaling, absorbing it deeply into every cell, every petal of every chakra. And now you're so full of this light that as your Ishta is just continuously radiating this darshan, this blessing to you, you're so full now that as you exhale, this light, this quality begins to radiate from you also out to the world. You're inhaling it from your Ishta. And as you exhale, you are giving it back to the world. And now smile at your Ishta. Smile at your Ishta. And just be aware, just notice if your Ishta smiles it back at you, it may just be a feeling that it's smiling. smile back and allow that smile to be an even deeper blessing, a deeper boon, as Kriyananda would say. Giving you the grace that will help to neutralize the heavy karma of your life, to soften the karma and help you transcend. Transcend these heavy energies that we all have here at the earth plane. And as we do so, we learn how to balance our lives, to balance our minds, and find the contentment, the love, the joy, and the peace our hearts are longing for. And you become this quality, this attribute that you value so dearly. And you become a vehicle of bringing that into the world. And now we're about to leave, but before we do, if it feels right to you, ask your Ishta, how can I serve thee? How can I serve? And see what it says. And now thank your Ishta. Thank your Ishta. And you gently, easily begin to float back down into your house, your apartment, into the room where you're sitting, into the chair or the cushion or the couch where you're sitting. And what I'd like you to do now is to just very gently write down what you experienced if you were able to ask, how can I serve thee? And if that didn't feel appropriate to ask, just write down what your response to that was. And I'll give you a few moments to do that. So as you finish writing, I'm going to share a little story Kriyananda told. And with this idea, there's several, he tells it in several different contexts, right? Making a point. These are teaching stories. But this one for us today is this concept of reciprocity. Reciprocity, which basically is the give and take of life. Just as the trees breathe in our carbon dioxide and give us back oxygen. To me, that is just the most beautiful symbol for us. We are here. You know, what is that song? You're going to have to serve somebody. You know, it's, what is that song? It's not coming to my head right now, but it's like that song. It was the one that from this, if any of you watch The Sopranos, I think it started The Sopranos, right? Or anyways, it was the same. It's that idea. You're going to have to serve somebody. We're all serving somebody. And in our wisdom is to recognize that we're serving life. We are a part of life. We are not apart. We're not separate. And when we try and separate and isolate and do this, only suffering can come from that. Only suffering can come from that. And so this idea of reciprocity, that your Ishta is imbuing you with freely giving you this quality and you freely share it with the world. There's no, not that person. We're learning. I mean, but there is maybe now, but the idea is for us to learn how to sink into this place of reciprocity. So one of the stories I love from Kriyananda's, he was meditating. And if you can be in a place of this kind of union with life, you are part of life, right? You are valued, needed, indispensable, right? So he's meditating and he suddenly hears this sound like something gnawing on something, right? And it was kind of starting to pull him out of his meditation. He was like, such an odd sound. And he's coming back into his meditation, but he keeps hearing this sound. And so he finally opens his eyes and he looks down and he sees one of the gazillion cats his wife had chewing on a bone. But what drew him out of his meditation was that as the cat was going to the bone, yum, 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 the bone was going, yum, 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 yum. It was reciprocity. The cat was chewing on the bone and the bone was loving being chewed on. There's a deep teaching here. So I just want to float that out here. Just sit with that. And I want to now, I'm going to ask you to, before we talk as a group, I'm going to ask you two more things. And I'm going to ask you to really move into some intuition, okay, here. And I'm going to ask you to write down in your book, in your journal right now. And how can I say this? So that I want you to see if you can just let go of all preconceptions without letting go of the preconceptions. It's like, see if you can move through them, but they're there. And part of the exercise is helping us move through. This will make sense when I ask the question. I'm going to ask you to write down for you right now, if you could create God, if you could create God, what are the qualities you would give God? And if you don't believe in God, look at it as the creative energy, the creative force fields, the force of creation, that field of creation that has the power to create. What does that energy of creation need in your point of view, need to have, need to be? I'm going to give you a few more minutes because this is an important question. So even if you don't or no longer or never did subscribe to the idea that there was a man with a white beard in the sky as God, there is, and you know this, there is an energy of creation that things grow, they manifest. What are the qualities, that energy that precipitates a creation, a birth, a beginning? What are the qualities that needs? In your opinion. I'll give you two more minutes. Okay, so just kind of wrap it up, and then I'm going to ask you to just have your pencil, keep your pencil in your hand, keep your thing that you're writing in right nearby, but we're going to do a short meditation. I'm going to ask you to write something at the end of it, okay? So be comfortable. This isn't a long meditation, so just be comfortable and do what you know how to do. Drop into your seat. Settle your energy, settle your mind. Do a three-part breath. And do another one. And do one more. And as you exhale, soften the body, soften the mind, soften your being, soft and present. Body so soft, shoulders soft, jaw soft. Gently roll your shoulders back so your heart center is open. It's a subtle shift, it's a subtle sense of opening. And as you open that heart center, see if you can also kind of just lift it a little bit. This is a very subtle movement, but it just opens the solar plexus. It's as we sit up just a little taller, chest is open, solar plexus is open. And see if you can find, it's a very subtle opening. An awareness that your whole chakra system is open. The front of your body is open. And as you take that next breath in, feel the body, the whole torso gently expanding. And as you exhale, imagine you're exhaling out through your back. So there's a sense of openness in the torso, and then same thing in the neck, in the throat. As you inhale, feel the front of the throat opening, expanding. As you exhale, exhale out the back of the neck, softening and opening. And now bring your attention up to the sun center. And hold your attention here at the sun center, body open, your whole being open. And we'll do a resurrection breath. And as we come back, I'll lay the ground for the next question I'm going to ask you. So let's all resurrection breath. Come forward. And now I'm going to ask you to imagine that you're on an elevator. You are on an elevator, and that elevator, you've gotten on it and you've pressed H for high. And this elevator is taking you up, 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 higher than you can imagine. You're just, the elevator is ascending up, 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 up. And in just a moment, those doors are going to open. And when they open, you're going to have 5 seconds, 5 seconds. And when they open, you will be at the throne of God. And in those 5 seconds, say or ask whatever you need to. Here we go. We're arriving. The doors open and go. And now the doors close. And you gently, gently come back. Come back down. Bring yourself back down. Come back into your room and write down what happened. Just write down what happened. Honest, completely honest with yourself. So, last week one of you said, "Wow, I was just wiped out after our morning together," and I want to just assure you that we're starting we're starting like this for a reason. And we are going to, everything we're doing here is, I believe, going to make the next parts of the training much, much richer, meaningful for you. And so today is kind of our last day where we're going to explore the Ishta. And from here, we're going to move on. We're going to go back to some basics. We're going to learn about mindfulness. We're going to learn about some basic techniques, but you're going to go into it with this as your ground. This is your support. And so keeping in mind that this program is ultimately all about you. what we're doing today is we're going to hopefully flush out and help you really find that attunement to your Ishta. And here's why. I'm going to tell you another story. Okay. And this is a true story. This is a story of my own where I finally understood what the Ishta was about. And it's a woo woo story. So you're going to love it. Okay. And it's true because it happened to me. So Kriyananda, he'd been training us to find our Ishta, work with our Ishta. And we were at a retreat and we had done some exercises with the Ishta. So it was alive and well. But then this thing happened. And if you recall, I had a little issues with my Ishta, right? It was Mother Mary, and I was like not happy about it, and I had sort of accepted it. I was, you know, and I was working with her, but it wasn't like my heart wasn't I wasn't all in. Let's put it that way. So we're at this retreat. It's night. It's evening. It's like the second to the last evening. These were longer retreats. It wasn't just two nights. And he's giving a teaching and I'm like absorbed in it. And for some reason, I was sitting at the very back of the room on a chair. I wasn't sitting on a cushion. I think this was probably before I could sit on the floor. This was way back. Remember I told you in the beginning I was on a chair? I was on a chair. And all of a sudden, I'm putting my hand up and I kept feeling like there was something on my neck, you know, like a scarf or something on my neck. Like, you know, it's just that little feeling. Oops, sorry. Drop the mic. Hold on. Put the mic back. Drop the mic moment, Karen. Oh man, interrupt the story. Okay. Can you still hear? All right. So I'm sitting, I keep doing this and then I'm kind of listening. And when Kriyananda teaches, you kind of go into this halfway zone because his energy is so powerful. And he would say he's teaching not just words, he's teaching on the subtle planes, right? And so I'm kind of in that zone, but it's like I kept doing this because there was this sensation around my neck. And then I'm looking and I'm literally right in front of him, right? Well, maybe off to the side just a little, but anyways. And all of a sudden I see this hand go up like for a question. And I'm like, oh, okay. And Agnieszka, I don't know if you were at this retreat. Were you at this retreat? Wait, we'll see. Hand goes up and I'm like, oh, a question. Okay. And you got to understand the light is on Kriyananda. The rest of the room is very dim. So it's almost like in a silhouette, this woman, right? And he's ignoring her. He's not answering her question. And the hand just stays up and he's not responding and he's teaching. And this feeling, I'm like, throat is getting more and more and it's just weird. And hand is standing up and she's not sitting. She's more, there's a posture. It's more like hero's pose where you're kind of on your knees. So she was, so if I do that, I'll be out of the screen, but so she's more on her knees and hand staying up and she starts rocking. Hand is up, rocking like this. This has gone on for 10 minutes. Kriyananda's ignoring it. And all of a sudden, he stops the teaching and he says, I want everybody to leave right now. Don't ask any questions. Go back to your rooms. Just leave. And the whole room went, whoa, what the fuck, right? And the really amazing disciples all left. A few of us were standing around going, what the fuck? And actually more than a few of us. And I mentioned to a friend of mine, oh my God, that was so weird. And this thing around my neck. And she was having the same experience, something around her neck, right? And so this woman is still sitting in the middle of the room with her hand up. Kriyananda's gone. Other people gone. I'm so curious. And other people are kind of standing around looking at her. And all I knew was we needed to leave. And I just said to the group, because people are trying to figure out what's going on. We're kind of looking at this woman. She's in a trance. She's just like this. And it's funny. We need to go. Kriyananda said to go. So we leave. As I'm leaving to go back to my room, I see Kriyananda coming out of his room. And I've never seen him dressed like this. He's no longer in his guru clothes, his teaching clothes. He's in a little tweed cap and a little coat. And he's just bundled up and he just looks like a little old man. And he stops and he said something and I can't remember what it was. And, oh, he asked me. And I said, no, almost everybody's gone. A few people are still in there. And he's like, okay. And he says, I need to go outside. And he leaves. And that's all we know. That's all I know. Go to bed next night, that night. Of course, everybody's abuzz. It's like, what the F just happened, right? Because another word, there was some dark energy going on in that room, right? Next morning, I wake up. Now, this woman's daughter was at the retreat. And just so happens, when I sit down for breakfast, she sits next to me. And she sits next to me, and she's got tears. She's so filled with shame, embarrassment of what her mother did. Just imagine how you would feel, right? If your parent was the person that was at the center of all this buzz that's going on everywhere. And we started talking and I was comforting her and saying, you know, basically it's, you are not your mom. Right. And as I was comforting her, all of a sudden I felt, and it's these places that are not about logic, right? All of a sudden I realized it's like my Ishta suddenly was me. And it was in that moment that I realized that my Ishta was a part of me. My Ishta was me. Not my everyday Karen-ness, but that other part of me. And I started tearing up because I could feel that the comfort I was giving this young woman was the comfort that my Ishta was giving me. That unconditional love, unconditional love. And it was a profound moment where I understood something, not because somebody told me it was true, but because I experienced it. So of course, now that's the main story. So of course, come back to Oregon, you know, and I'm still so curious, like what the fuck happened? Because nobody's talking. Nobody's talking, right? Send Kriyananda an email. It's like, okay, so, and I tell him this great revelation, my Ishta is me, yay, yay, yay. And what was going on? I literally just had to ask, what was going on with that? I had this experience, blah, blah, blah. And he basically said, great, yes, your Ishta is you. You got it. And all this stuff, just look at your own. He said something's out of balance in your own Mercury chakra. I mean, really what I wanted was there was dark energy in the room and she was casting a spell on me and I was, that's what I wanted to hear. But no, he turned it right back around to me that there was something out of balance in my Mercury chakra. And that's why I was having that experience. Mercury is the symbol we use for the throat chakra. So that's the ending of the story. And, but the point of the story is this is why the Ishta is this connection to life. Connection. It's the bridge. It's the portal to this other part of you that is real. That is real. It doesn't end with this body. It's eternal. And in the mystical traditions, it's different than what we learn in the Western Christian traditions, which is that we're born and now we'll live. But it doesn't, immortal means we we've always been. And the difference that I found so clarifying, because I was raised as a Catholic Christian, right? And, you know, it was always about this moment that I came into being. And now I was going to be, you know, if I made it to heaven, right, I would be immortal. And, or I, if I didn't make it to heaven, I'd be mortal in hell, right? Either way, it was never part of the concept that this immortalness actually has always been. And in the mystical tradition, which is the more the meditation tradition, you know, we're going to move into the mindfulness. We're going to go into the basics, but on a deepest level, meditation is your bridge. It's your portal to recognizing that you are connected to something so much deeper, so much more real than all of this. And it's always, always been. Now, how can that happen? That's a deeper question. And that's not a question I can answer with words. That's a question that you will experience the answer to. You will go deep into meditation. And this is why I love retreats. Retreats are great places for these things to happen, these moments to happen, and you have the experience and you know. But your Ishta is the door that opens. It's the bridge. It's it. And I use the word it purposely because I don't want us to get balled up in male or female, right? It's your Ishta is your Ishta. It's a quality. It's not about male, female. So deep start to the morning. But I feel like on some level to start this training, what I'm trying to do is give you the greatest gift of all, which is your connection to that part of you that you can trust, that you can befriend, that you can count on always, always, always. So with that, here's my thought. It's kind of like, whoa, that was a lot. I say, let's all go get a cup of tea or a cup of coffee, take a little break. And then when we come back, we're gonna move into a little bit of discussion about all this. And, but I kind of don't want to disrupt your experience and all of this with chatter between us yet. So I'm going to go make a cup of tea, which will probably take me 5 minutes, and you go do something or journal or stay in your zone, and we won't talk really. We'll come back. Let's come back at, on the half hour. So it's 10:22, 8:22. Let's come back on a half hour. How's that sound? Okay. All right, loves.